You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Burn away my fears, and wipe away my tears, and trust in you are here, Holy Spirit.
Okay, hello friends, and welcome to Sacred Space Radio Maria. I'm Beatrice, your host, and today we are going to continue our interview with Gregory Cahill, who shared with us last time his encounter with Mother Mary and how it transformed his life. So today Greg is going to share with us a deeper reflection of how Mother Mary works in his life and has brought him to where he is today. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So let us begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So, Greg, last time you were here, you mentioned that you went through a long journey. It was a difficult one before you found the love and support of Mother Mary that maybe you didn't even know you were looking for. And it was through the testimonial of another man that you resonated with, Artie Boyle, who you found on YouTube, and he talked about his conversion, and that kind of opened your eyes and opened up your heart, and that was the impetus to a new beginning in your relationship and your spiritual journey. Do you want to just recap a little bit of that and proceed from there?
So as I mentioned last time I was here, raised in a Catholic home for sure. We went to Mass every Sunday as a family. A lot of religious in the family. But the key element that was missing, although there was more faith, abundance of faith, was the idea of love. So God was always presented to me as punishing. Our Blessed Mother was put in the same category. And as when you're young and you trust your parents, you think that's the truth. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the key reasons I did not have a devotion to our Blessed Mother, or refused to have a devotion, maybe more accurately put, is why am I inviting all this pain into my life? And so unfortunately, it cost me. And bringing back to Artie Boyle, when I heard Artie's testimony, it allowed me as an adult to finally take responsibility for what I believed. And I had to take responsibility. So I grew up in a really kind of dysfunctional situation, and you can't play the victim. I'm an adult now, so I had to trust and find what I believe as an adult. I can't just go through life as a victim and saying, well, I learned this and learned that. Right. I had to take responsibility for my own life. Mm-hmm. So the key thing, and something we were talking about before, is the big, big difference now in our devotion to my Blessed Mother, our Blessed Mother, excuse me, is the idea of love. Now, I had more faith and more theology and more than I could ever take as a kid, but the word love was never there. Wow. You know, and our mother being presented as a loving mother wasn't there. So we had all these rituals of saying the rosary and that, but it just seemed to be to keep God's anger at bay. Mm-hmm. So when I, as an adult, took responsibility for my own devotion to Blessed Mother, the word love started to emerge. And that was never present. So when I started to understand that, it compelled me to keep moving forward deeper into this conversion. for lack of a better term. And at the end of the day, it was really directed by our Blessed Mother. She made the invitation to me, and I responded. So the key now in my relationship with Blessed Mother is based on love. She loves me, I'm her son, and I love her, she's my mother. And that becomes the basis for everything, from the recitation of the rosary to coming here to Ave Maria. And that is just, is really out of love. And that was, it's a small change, but it's a really big change, because the whole motivation for doing what you're doing has now changed radically for me, right? If it love's involved, it inspires you to go deeper and more into this whole mystery. And then from there, she directed me more to a loving God at the same time, right? So my journey with the Blessed Mother is more liberating than educational, right? Mm-hmm. And I just think of all the, you know, in my mind, how many people don't believe in God, not because they're bad, because they were given the wrong information.
I totally agree. There was a period in our, even in my own childhood,
right,
where God was presented to me as a judge.
Correct.
Always watching what I was doing, judging me, good, bad. If it's all bad, you're going to go to hell. And
right,
there was a fear that was perpetuated because, correct, of this judgment.
Correct.
And it wasn't until I grew up and I've found myself in terms of my relationship with our Lord. I had to undo, like what you had to do. You had to undo,
correct,
all the things that you were taught as a child.
Yeah.
In order for, make room for love.
Correct.
And this love, it sounds like it attracted you,
correct,
more and more to the divine.
Correct.
And so now, and that love is what Mother Mary used to transform your life, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah. So I wonder how many, we're so judgmental. Well, I couldn't speak for myself. We think that people walk away from their faith because they were given perfect faith and perfect information, and they said, no, I reject this.
Mm-hmm.
How many people were given wrong information about Christ, wrong information about the church, wrong information about the Blessed Mother, and acting upon that wrong information, decided, I don't want any part of this. I relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I relate to that. Until I was invited as an adult to push all that aside. And it was painful because I had to rethink everything.
Yes, and it's also a miracle that you didn't lose your faith.
Correct.
You still were on the path, correct, that you wanted. You were,
well,
searching.
I'm sure there's a lot of fear in there too, right?
Yeah, but there was fear. But at the same time, you didn't say, "Okay, forget it. This is not for me. I'm going to go on my own."
Yeah,
you were still searching.
And on a personal note, it infuriates me when people use fear as a way to motivate you in their faith. They use the fear as a club. And you see these poor souls who are trying to find me. It just drives me nuts. And sometimes I say things, sometimes I don't. But if it's not based on love, then what's it based on?
Right.
You know?
Unfortunately, we're human beings, and sometimes we resort to fear,
right,
as getting instant reaction of,
right,
the other person to do what we want them to do.
Right.
And but when you are close to the Holy, you're filled with grace,
right,
then you can see beyond that.
Right.
Transformation is not instantaneous, not all the time. It can happen,
right,
like St. Paul,
right,
what happened to St. Paul, but it is an ongoing journey.
Right. Yeah. So people ask me why I go to Mass every day. Why do I say the rosary? It's out of love of God, a love of our Blessed Mother. And if it's not out of love, then why are we doing all this?
Right.
Why are we really doing all this, right? And that's my question for people. So my journey was from, I had more theology as a kid than I'll ever handle. I had more religious books than I'll ever read in a three lifetimes. Parents quoting the Pope like he's texting them every day. You know what I mean? But there's no love, right?
Yeah.
Well, then the thing is, and so this is the thing. And I think our Blessed Mother, she wants to be, she wants to be known for who she is, and she wants us to have a proper, healthy relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
And my journey from Artie Boyle to now is about that, re-educating my mind, letting go of bad ideas, letting go. But then the other thing I mentioned too is, just because of a devotion of us a mother, she's pretty demanding in terms of how I live my life.
Right,
I don't get a free ride.
Yeah, you mentioned that. So what are some of the demands?
Well, I know how I have to act all the time.
Right.
You know?
You have that little inner voice whispering in your
ear.
There's
no excuses for making bad mistakes and bad behavior, right? So she, because her job is to, in the shortness of life, is to get me to eternity. So I just can't Christmas list all the time. There's an expectation, as any good mother is, that I behave in a way that is pleasing to her. And my job as a stockbroker, my whatever, I have to accept that every day. Mm-hmm. I have to accept, I can't compromise that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so those who think they just say the rosary and get everything they want, that's not how it works.
No,
it's a give and take.
It's give and take. And yeah. If anything, there's more testing and more Correct. Trials to purify and Correct. To strengthen your faith.
But maybe to love it, help us love better, maybe.
Yeah, to help us love better. Yeah, exactly.
That's
yeah.
right. I think when we talk to purity of heart, we think it's just this chaste life. Purity of heart gives us the ability to love more completely because we're not attached to so many stupid things, mm-hmm. right? I think yeah. to me, that's what purity of heart means.
Yeah.
And so, but... So hear me talking today. I never talked like this 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, 10 years ago, like people say the rosary, I just kind of walk in the other direction, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. But now...
Mm-hmm. Now it attracts you.
No, yeah.
And you find...
And I freely go to Medjugorje, and I love going to Medjugorje, and we have a wonderful time there, and I talk about my faith. We say the rosary all the time, and I'm not ashamed of my relationship with my Blessed Mother, right?
And that's wonderful to yeah. hear. Greg, last time that you were here with us, you shared with us the wonderful news that you just got the results that you're cancer-free.
Right.
And you gave thanks to our Blessed Mother, and we right. praise God. And, you know, it's wonderful. Tell me, if that news were different... How would you react? How do you think you would feel? Like, where would you be?
Well, that's a very good question. I'd like to think if the news had gone sideways and the diagnosis was terminal, I'd like to think that I would keep on praying. I don't know if until I've been put to the test, but I'd like that the correct action for me to take will be to keep on trusting and keep on praying.
Right.
I like to think I would do that, but I don't know until I was put to that test.
I know.
Right? Yeah. But so if I'm giving the impression to people that simply saying the rosary, you spare some of life's griefs, that's not happening. I had to be prepared with our Blessed Mother's help to deal with the fact that maybe this whole thing could have gone sideways.
Right.
And it could have, because when I got diagnosed, I had no idea what I was dealing with. And originally thought it was centered in my lungs, and that's not good. And I had to sort of accept that. So I'd like to think, in a perfect world, I would have kept on praying and trusting. But I'd like to think I would have done that. But I don't know until I was put to the test, to be quite honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's fair. I mean, that's a very honest answer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so. But as it turns out, so yeah, I'm cancer-free today, which means that I have more work to do, I guess.
Yeah. You're on a mission.
Yeah, exactly.
We said before, whenever what God gives us, we have the obligation to share it with others.
Yeah. And I'll say to people, how do you get cured? Well, I had excellent doctors.
Right.
Let's not kid ourselves. I had a brilliant surgeon at Toronto General. And I say my rosary. If they bring, I don't like the rosary answer, well, don't ask me the question then, because that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Yeah.
So,
no, definitely science and faith go
correct.
Hand in hand
yeah.
in this and in our world, because science is given to us as a gift.
Correct.
From God as well.
And science is not the enemy of faith. They work together, right?
They do, definitely.
They work together. I don't know why people are so afraid of it. And so, you know...
Well, that's the science used for the good.
Yeah, science for the good, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I had a number of people, well-intentioned, but it drove me crazy. Okay, you got to say this, Novena. You got to do this. You need a miracle cure. You got to go to the top of Centennial Hill and pray. And there are all these kind of things. Well, how about we allow the wonderful, brilliant doctor I had, surgeon at Toronto General, with God's help, heal me? How about we do that?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how it worked out for me.
Oh, were these people saying not to have surgery and just
well,
to do prayer?
No, but they almost disregarded the whole what medicine could do.
Okay.
And they went right to the faith. And, you know, I got to climb to the top of the CN Tower and wait to get knocked off my horse like St. Paul. And and if I didn't have that miracle, and the other side, if I didn't have that miracle, well, I didn't have enough faith for that miracle.
Yeah.
Like, I had to endure all that stuff. How about God heals me in his good time? With the assistance of today's modern medicine. How about that?
You know, I just came across a beautiful quote. I don't remember it word for word, but from St. Giannamola, who was a doctor, a female
right.
doctor in Italy. And she wrote down one day on her prescription pad, The priest is the doctor of the soul and he touches Christ. Doctors are the doctors of the body and we touch Christ by touching the body.
Correct.
Something to that effect.
Right.
So that just exemplifies what we were just saying,
yeah.
How the two go in hand and we're all, you know, doctors are there to heal.
Right.
To help heal. And
yeah.
To, yeah.
So, you know, when I was in Medjugorje last May, and I knew that when I came home from Medjugorje, I would get the results of my biopsy.
Right.
I was there. I had a wonderful time, as you know. It was beautiful. I don't remember ever praying once for a miracle cure. I just prayed to help me do God's will, whatever it is.
How beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was at peace with that. And whatever happens is going to happen. I knew that our Blessed Mother is watching after me. God's looking. And I don't remember ever going in desperation and getting on my knees at Cross Mountain and praying for this thing to go away. I knew that at the end of the day, God was in charge and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And I remember giving it a couple of thoughts. And the majority of the time in Medjugorje, I didn't even think about the biopsy. Mm-hmm. I was having such a good time because I knew that would be the answer for me, right? And these miracle cures, they happen in few and far between. So I just had to rely on getting the right doctors to do the work, and I did, right?
Yeah, and we have to remember to pray for the doctors.
Correct. Correct.
You know, and to guide their hands.
Yeah.
And what you just described, surrendering, that's what is called mature faith.
Correct.
Because as children, when we're little, we just want. And we are asking. And if we don't get our way, we have little temper tantrums. And the same in the spiritual life. Is a mature faith is, you know what, I desire this, but God, it's in your hands. Just like our Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
He said, let this cup pass me by, but it's your will be done.
Right. And when I was in Medjugorje, the peace that came to me is, one way or another, it's all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, yeah. I can live with that. Let's just get on with having a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't remember begging our Blessed Mother to make this thing go away. I was more concerned about being faithful under this difficult time than I was to some kind of miraculous healing, right? Because I know those are few and far between. The majority of people, they just kind of trudge the road, right? Versus having some kind of thing. And even Artie Boyle says, I got cured of cancer, but someday I'm still going to die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that. But the other thing too is, I should mention is, so many kind people emerged that assist me that weren't there prior to my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not God's hand, and people think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. No, how about a kind word for somebody struggling? And that made the difference in the world. It made people showed up that I didn't even know. And they made the world a difference, either visiting me or calling me. And I thinking, this is the hand of God too.
Yeah.
This really is the hand of God. And now the other side, I thought the people would help disappeared. And I had to kind of deal with that. And I kind of relate to our Lord as he's walking up to Calvary. He's looking around for all his friends and everything like that, you know.
Yeah.
But so many kind people did so many wonderful things. And it made this whole thing easier.
Mm-hmm.
So don't think that if somebody's struggling really bad, you got to find a cure. You got to do this. How about you just say, how you doing? And go for a coffee. And I'm praying for you. That made all the difference in the world because I would not put on somebody's shoulders to solve this problem for me.
Yeah.
But those small acts of kindness were those things that got me from point A to point B in so many different cases. So
yeah, that's so true. And that's how God works through us.
When yeah, exactly.
We cooperate with him.
Exactly.
We become his arms, his eyes, his
correct.
Mouth, his words.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's so true. And I am so happy. For your recovering and your healing, and your sharing this beautiful testimonial with us, because life is just as you described it. It's not always rose, peaches, and cream.
Correct.
And but with the help of our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, Queen of our hearts.
Correct.
We can get through any trial.
Correct.
And at the end of the day, what is important is our eternal salvation.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to be cured and to have extra years of life and to move in
correct.
This world. But really at the end of the day, it's our our eternal life that is on.
And in it, you know, our eternal life, there's no such thing as cancer.
Exactly.
There's no such thing as disease, no such thing as cancer and all that. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, one day, a long, long time from now.
All right.
Until then, we'll just keep spreading the word and keep spreading the love, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, love for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Gregory.
You're welcome.
It was lovely to have you back. And we'll keep praying for your healing and your total recovery, and as well for anybody else, our listeners who need prayers. You're all, you know, through the grace of God, we're all united in prayer.
And so thank you for the invitation to talk about our Blessed Mother. And it really was quite an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's it for today, dear listeners. Thank you for having joined us. And may God bless you and keep you. And until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Have been listening to Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo, here on Radio Maria Canada. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to sacredspace@radiomaria.ca. To learn more about this program, please visit radiomaria.ca/sacredspace.